Jeremiah chapter number 52. We're going to look at verse number 17. Jeremiah chapter 52, verse number 17. Bible says, "Also the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases, and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans brake, and carried all the brass of them to Babylon. The cauldrons also, and the shovels, and the snuffers, and the bowls, and the spoons, and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered, took they away. And the basins, and the firepans, and the bowls, and the cauldrons, and the candlesticks, and the spoons, and the cups, that which was of gold in gold, and that which was of silver in silver, took the captain of the guard away. The two pillars, one sea, and 12 brazen bowls that were under the bases, which King Solomon had made in the house of the Lord, the brass of all these vessels was without weight. And concerning the pillars of height, the height of one pillar was 18 cubits, and a fillet of 12 cubits did compass it, and the thickness thereof was 4 fingers, it was hollow. And a chapter of brass was upon it, and the height of one chapter was 5 cubits, with network and pomegranates upon the chapters round about, all of brass. The second pillar also, and the pomegranates were like unto these. And there were 96 pomegranates on a side, and all the pomegranates upon the network were 100 round about." All right, we'll finish, we'll stop right there. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your love for us. I pray that you just help us this morning as we just go to your word, and maybe just kind of a interesting topic and interesting subject, Lord. And as we look at this and, Lord, apply it to our lives, Lord, it is an application that we can apply to our lives. And as we maybe even think about our children or the young people here at church, Lord, I pray that we would just maybe use this as a thing to be more in prayer for them, but help us to apply it to our lives in a very personal way. Lord, we love you. We thank you for just loving us. Thank you for the safety you give us this morning, and we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here that this is the second, if you remember, we've talked about this a couple times, but basically Israel is carried away in two different, I say Israel collectively, Israel and Judah is carried away in two different captivities into Babylon. Okay, the first one, Jehoiachin was carried away with Judah, okay? And that was the first captivity that was carried away. And then Zedekiah was made king, and then we talked about how Zedekiah wouldn't listen to Jeremiah, and Zedekiah also was carried away into captivity. And that was what the first part of chapter 52 was talking about how Zedekiah rebelled and he was carried away. But also, in verse number 17 down through verse number 23, the Bible very specifically tells us everything that the captain of the guard, these vessels, if you would, the captain of the guard had carried away. He took all these things and he said, "I'm going to take these and I'm going to take them to Babylon." Now, this is kind of a, I don't know, I was looking at this and I guess I was kind of praying about what God would have me to talk about, And I kind of got studying this, and it's interesting. So we're going to chase this, the vessels of God. And you know, folks, we are, the Bible talks about us being a vessel of God. Okay? We are a vessel of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to look at verse number 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." And then it tells us, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." You remember when I had the coffee mug up here, and we talked about the sanctified, a cup that's sanctified, basically means it's cleaned, and it's set aside for a specific purpose. Okay? Now, we use the illustration, most of us, we'll drink out of the same cup over and over, but if I've got somebody coming to my house, I'm going to clean the cups and set them aside for that person because it's something special. Well, in verse number 21, the Bible says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, all right, cleaned and set aside, and it says that, and meet for the master's use, all right, and prepared unto every good work. So it's a vessel that's been cleaned and is ready for use, okay? It's one that you're going to pull out of your cupboard, a clean vessel. So the Bible tells us that we are vessels, and there's several other places in the Bible that we can go, and we can see that we are a vessel, and that God wants to fill us and God wants to use us, okay? So we see that in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Now, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 4. Get there. And I'm not going to read all this. We do not have time, and but I think you'll get the idea here. 2 Chronicles chapter number 4. Now, there is a whole list here. Okay, a whole list, and if you want to go look at it later, that's fine. But basically, what we just read in Jeremiah chapter 52 is initially built right here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 4. So, and I'm just going to read probably maybe two verses here, or three. Bible says, verse number 1, moreover, he made an altar of brass, 20 cubits the length thereof, and 20 cubits the breadth thereof, and 10 cubits the height thereof. Also, he made a molten sea of 10 cubits from brim to brim, round in compass, and 5 cubits the height thereof, and a line of 30 cubits did compass it round about. And under it was the similitude of oxen, which did compass it round about, 10 in a cubit, compassing the sea round about. 2 rows of oxen were cast when it was cast. And we can go through and verse number 11. Look at verse number 11. And Huram, which is the craftsman, he was the artificer. Of brass here, and Huram made the pots and the shovels and the basins, and Huram finished the work that he was to make for King Solomon for the house of God. And then it goes down through here, and it gives all the, remember the pomegranates that was in Jeremiah chapter 52? The pomegranates are listed here, bases, lavers, pots, shovels, spoons, cups, all this stuff is listed here. Okay, so this is where originally Huram made all these things for the temple of God. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter number 6 and chapter number 7, here again, I'm not going to necessarily read all of this, but is basically the dedication of the temple by Solomon to God. So God says, Solomon says, I'm going to dedicate all of these things, all of these vessels for God. They are sanctified. They're going to be set apart for God's use. Okay? And that's probably the first thing I want to emphasize this morning. As a vessel, as a Christian, we are to be set aside for God's use. We are to be vessels that are set aside for God's use. Okay? So the vessels were consecrated to God. 2 Chronicles chapter number 6 and chapter number 7. Okay, so we saw first of all in 2 Chronicles chapter 4 that these items were made. And you know, we're all made. We all are a vessel. And you know, God made every one of us in a different way. God made every one of us for a different purpose. And your purpose is not the same as my purpose, but we all need to fulfill the purpose that God has for us in our life. So we see that there's all these vessels, and that first of all, Solomon in chapter 6 and chapter 7, he consecrated them to God. All right? However, 2 Chronicles, go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 36. 2 Chronicles chapter number 36. Verse number 18. This is a repetition of what we just read in Jeremiah chapter number 52. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his prince, all these he brought to Babylon. Now, remember what we've been talking about? When the children of Israel, we used this illustration, I think it was last week or the week before, when Johanan, he went to Jeremiah and said, we don't want to stay in the land of Israel, let us go someplace else. Well, you know what? These vessels were no longer in the house of God. They were being taken to the world. They were being taken to the world. And you know, as a vessel, it's easy for us to go to the world and be used by the world. And we're going to look at that just a little bit this morning. But the vessels were taken to the world. Second Kings, so flip back. Second Kings, and I'm just showing you basically the same story in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter number 25. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you that. Second Kings chapter number 25, verse number 13. And the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces. You know, just as a side note, when you go to the world, a lot of things get broken when you go to the world. Just as a side note, and we'll continue that here in maybe a second. Did the Chaldees break in pieces and carry the brass of them to Babylon, and the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered took they away, and the fire pans and the bowls and such things as were of gold in gold and of silver in silver, the captain of the guard took away. The two pillars, one sea, and the bases which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the brass of all these vessels was without weight. The height of the one pillar was 18 cubits, and the chapiter upon it was brass. And the height of the chapiter was 3 cubits, and the wreathen work and pomegranates upon the chapiter round about, all of the brass, and like unto these had the second pillar with wreathen work. And the Chaldeans basically have come, they've spoiled the land of Israel, they've gone into the house of God, and they've taken all of this stuff. Okay? So first of all, we saw that the vessels were built, and each one of us, every one of us is a creation of God. God created us with a purpose. Okay? Just like these vessels. Every one of these vessels was created with a purpose. All of these vessels were consecrated to God. You know, I hope most of us in here, you at some point you've given God your life. You know, I think, you know, if you're coming to Sunday school regularly, faithfully, most of you have at some point, you've given God at least a part of your life, okay? I mean, you gave him Sunday morning, at least that, okay? So you've given God a part of your life. However, these vessels were taken to the land of Babylon. These vessels were taken to the land of Babylon. And as we saw there, the vessels, some of them were probably broken. They were broken. All right? So I want you to, if you would, I want you to go to Daniel. Daniel chapter number 5. Daniel chapter number 5. Daniel chapter number 5. Now I want you, I don't know how to tell this in a story, if story form or how to say this, but if you would, I want you to go back in your minds to, okay, imagine the ceremony that Solomon has just done, the dedication of all these vessels. I mean, if you go and look at what happened at this dedication, it is amazing. I mean, how many animals are slaughtered? I mean, it is amazing how many things were done. I mean, this was a huge deal, incredible deal. And you can, if you would, imagine, you know, Solomon standing up here and he's consecrating all of these vessels for God. And you've got gold ones over here and silver ones over here, and you've got cups and you've got basins and you've got flesh hooks and you've got shovels and you've got pans, all these things for offering these sacrifices, and they're all lined up over here. And Solomon says, these are for God. These are consecrated for God. These are for God's use. And I don't know what all happened, but I mean, there was a big dedication, a big ceremony, and I can almost see, you know, the high priest coming in and taking a cup, and the high priest has this cup or whatever. Or even, remember how the high priest had to take blood and he had to go offer it on the altar? He had to take that blood and he had to go to the mercy seat for the children of Israel. Well, what if one of those vessels was a cup, maybe? And this cup was a very sacred cup. It was a gold cup, a gold goblet, if you would. And that priest takes that cup and that goblet, and he goes over to that animal that was a sacrifice, that was a picture of Jesus Christ that was to come. And he takes the blood, because that's what atones us, the blood of Jesus Christ. And he takes that blood, and that blood drips down into that goblet. And he takes that, and this is a consecrated cup. This is a cup that was meant for God's work. It was meant for the use of God. And he takes that cup, and he goes, and he takes that, and he offers that blood upon the altar. And then that cup is put back very sacredly. Everything was done very ceremoniously. And that cup is taken and it's set back in its proper place. And years go by. And that cup is a very sacred cup. And then the children of Israel get away from God. And they rebel against what God wants them to do. And so God sends his servant, which the Bible tells that Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I don't know. Nebuchadnezzar may not be in heaven. My personal opinion, I think he'll be there. Now, you may disagree with me on that. Okay, and that's fine. I don't have any proof that he's going to be there. But the Bible says that he was a servant of God. He said he was a servant of God. Look at it. You're in Daniel chapter number 5. Okay, look at the last verse of chapter number 4. Bible says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." Remember when Nebuchadnezzar went, now I'm not going to get into this, but remember when Nebuchadnezzar rose up in pride and said, "Look what I have done," and God humbled him and gave, you know, he lived like an animal, and then he basically came to himself and said, "God, you are the God of gods, you're the King of kings." You know, you have to recognize that God is God. And I think that's part of being saved, okay? But I personally, I think Nebuchadnezzar's probably, I mean, I think he may be in heaven. I don't know. I don't have a proof of that. But there's another king that comes after Nebuchadnezzar. His name is Belshazzar. Belshazzar. Now, if you noticed, all of the vessels that Nebuchadnezzar took from the land of Israel, he put them in his own temple, his own personal temple. So, yes, he took that cup, that same cup that may have been one of the most ceremonious cups that Solomon had, and he took that cup, but he had a reverence for it. He had a respect for it. And he put that cup in what he would have considered his most holy place, his temple, if you would. So that cup was kept not the way it should have been in God's use, but it was also kept, it was kept clean. It was kept ceremonious. Okay? But in chapter number 5, we see something here, and this is where I got Belshazzar's cup from. Okay? Belshazzar's cup. But in chapter number 5 of Daniel, you know, we've been in Jeremiah and we saw Jeremiah carried captivity away. But in chapter number 5, the Bible says, "Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. And they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone." Now, if you would, imagine he sends his servants and they go into Nebuchadnezzar's temple and they take all these vessels, and maybe perhaps even that vessel, that cup, and they take it to Nebuchadnezzar, or to Belshazzar, and Belshazzar begins desecrating that vessel. So one thing that was once consecrated to God is now being desecrated by the world. And you know what, folks? Coming back to our personal application, When you go to the world, you're desecrating what God has consecrated for His use. Imagine what the, let's just say, I'm just using it as an illustration. I don't know what cup He used, okay? But what if that cup that once was a symbol of the atonement, that once was a symbol of that, is no longer filled with the blood, but is now filled with the devil's brew? Because they're getting drunk. They're filling it with alcohol. And you know what? There's a lot of Christians that go out and they want to, well, I'm saved. So you're a sanctified vessel, but you want to go out and you want to fill yourself with the devil's junk. You want to fill yourself with what the world has for you. And then you, well, I'm still a consecrated. Wait, it's what's inside is what consecrates you. I'm not saying that you're no longer saved. You're still a vessel, maybe, but you're no longer fit to be used for the purpose that God has planned for you to be used for. And you know, I think we got a lot of kids that go out. I could have, by the grace of God, I'm trying to do what's right. You know, we go out, and as young people, we go out and we want to, well, we grow up in church and we live, and well, I'm okay here. And then we want to go out and we want to serve the devil. Okay? But there are consequences. There are consequences to that. You just can't leave everything behind and expect everything to be, you know, roses when you come back. And I'm going to show you that here in a little bit. But so let's say that Belshazzar has that cup and he's drinking wine out of that cup. Now, God never showed up with his hand on the wall and tell Belshazzar. God didn't show up to this party until Belshazzar went and got his vessels out of the temple. But in verse number five, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall. Okay? So in the same hour that Belshazzar said, I'm going to take that vessel and I'm going to use it for my personal enjoyment, my personal use, the hand on the wall started writing. And Belshazzar's holding this cup in his hand, filled with the devil's brew, a cup that was once sanctified for God's use, and he's holding this, and all of a sudden this hand appears on the wall and starts writing. I don't know what Belshazzar did. The Bible says he was so scared his knees were knocking together. The Bible says that. I think he dropped his cup. I don't know. Put yourself there. He's holding this cup and all of a sudden this hand starts writing on the wall. I think he just drops his cup. Okay? And you know what happens, folks? You'll see it time and time and time again. A vessel that's been consecrated for the Lord's use, the devil will go, they go to the world, when they go to the land of the world, the devil fills them with their brew. And then when judgment comes, you know what they do? They drop it. Perhaps it broke on the ground. What about all those brazen pillars that they spent hours and tons of money building? Remember what the Bible said? The Chaldeans broke them when they took them. You know, some people are broken when they go into the world, and some people are broken when they come out of the world. But the devil always breaks his stuff. Okay? So the vessels were broken. We see that in Daniel chapter 5, verse number, or not broken there, but look at verse number 23. This is talking to Belshazzar. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose all are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? You know what, folks? He said, Brother Chad, this is a really far-fetched idea. It may be, but there's a truth there. Because you know what? You can't expect to be a consecrated consecrated to God, and then go out in the world and nothing ever changes. Things will change. Things will change. You'll never again sit. Well, can you still be used? Yeah. You can still be used. You know, my dad told me something once, and actually I think he preached a chapel message in school once, but he brought in a jewelry box, or he brought in a piece of firewood is what he brought in. And he brought in a jewelry box, and the piece of firewood was made out of cherry, and the jewelry box was made out of cherry. Okay? And he took a hammer and nails, and he drove, I mean, it was like a pole barn nail. And he drove that nail into that piece of wood, and he pulled it out. You know what? It didn't really make a big difference in that piece of wood. Left a hole. But you know what? It could still be used. Then he took that pole barn nail, and he basically shattered that jewelry box with that pole barn nail. And his lesson was, you know, you can something that's set aside and that's made for a specific purpose, like we are as Christians. You know, the scars of sin don't, you know, on a worldly person, the scars of sin, they don't leave as much of a mark, but you'll never be able to use that jewelry box again. Now, you know, that piece of wood, you could still burn it, or you could still go throw it under a wheel for a chalk, or whatever you wanted to do. It's still got a purpose. And you know what? That vessel, it still had a purpose, but it would never be used for the same purpose that it was intended for. If I go out and sin, I will never be able to do exactly what God wanted for me to do. I sacrifice some of that stuff. You know, I think there's people that would probably agree with me. You know, hey, there are things in life that I have sacrificed because of choices I've made. Okay? So we see that. And I just want to, you know, hey, pray for these young people. Pray for the young people. You know, the devil right now, because all of us have a choice. You know, this vessel here, it was taken captive. But all of us have a choice. We can be a vessel that Belshazzar uses, or we can be a vessel that God uses. And we have a choice. And these young people have a choice. And you know what's so appealing is the party. Well, I don't want to be just, you know, that's a too sanctified, you know, that's too religious for me. Sitting here in the temple of God. Okay. So you want to go to Belshazzar's party. And you want to, you know, fill yourself with the stuff of the world. And live the party life. And to young people, listen, I'm not that far away. I'm getting farther, but I'm not that far away from where these young people are. And I understand, hey, it is attractive. There is something out there that is appealing. Because when all you've grown up is sitting here, I hate to say on a shelf, in the house of God, because listen, that's where I grew up. I sat here on a shelf, if you would. I grew up in the house of God. I did. I grew up in the house of God. Just like that vessel was in the house of God. It was made for the house of God. You know, God made me for, I don't know what all God has in store for me, but God made me for a specific purpose in life. All right? And this vessel was brought up in the house. But you know what's so appealing? Is the vessels, they look over here and they see Belshazzar's parties. And you know, the only way to please Belshazzar and his wives and his concubines is to fill yourself with the stuff of the world. Because what good is an empty vessel? So they're going to go fill themselves. So pray for them. Pray for these young people. Because they've got a choice that they have to make. You can't make it for them. I can't make it for them. I wish I could. I wish I could say, no, do this. And if I can make a choice, I would make a choice for them. I would, but I can't. They have to make those choices. So be in prayer for him. But if you would, remember Belshazzar, he's standing there holding that cup, and I can just imagine him dropping that cup. And while he's standing there with that cup in his hand, and he's drinking that devil's brew out of it, he's standing there and he's drinking it. What he doesn't know is at that very moment, men are walking through the old waterway under his wall that was undestructible. Nobody could get through there. And I can imagine that cup laying there on the ground where he dropped it, and screams start going through the building as soldiers come in and slaughter everybody. That cup is kicked around in the mayhem. It rolls through the blood of all these people. And you know what? The cup that could have been consecrated and could have been used for God's work is now rolling around on the ground with no direction in life, desecrated. Ezra chapter number 1. Ezra chapter number 1. This is years later. Ezra chapter number 1, verse number 7. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus king of Persia bring forth by the hand of Mithridath the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them: 30 chargers of gold, 1,000 chargers of silver, 29 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. So in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses. You say, Brother Chad, do some people come back to God? Yeah. Can some people still come back to this? Yes. But there's not nearly as much that came back as it went out. What happened to all those pillars? What happened to all the shovels and the snuffers and all that stuff? Some of it was left. Some of it was left. Go to chapter number 3, Ezra chapter number 3. Verse number 10. Ezra chapter 3, verse number 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Let me just take your imagination back again. Remember Solomon standing up here, and he had all these things consecrated to God? There were men out there, like there are men here, that stood out there, and they said, okay, that I see that vessel that's consecrated to God. And I almost wonder, you say, Brother Chad, why were people crying? The ones that were crying were the ones that had seen what God had done before. The ones that were crying were the ones that saw that vessel sitting right there that was consecrated to God. But then that vessel was taken away, and maybe that vessel never came back. So when they're standing out there and they're looking up here at all these things, they're not thinking of all the things that came back. They're crying because there's one missing. They're crying because there's one missing. You know what? It hurts. You know, maybe I should be preaching this to young people, but when you leave and you don't come back, it hurts you guys, the ones that have invested so much into them. It hurts your, like I said, I should be maybe teaching this to young people, but it hurts the parents when the kids don't come back, because they saw what was consecrated to God to start with. They saw that, and the potential that it had, but then they went and spent their life as a vessel for the world, living for the world, and they'll never again be able to be used in the way that God had for them to be used. So, Brother Chad, maybe you should have taught this to young people. Maybe I will. I don't know. Chapel message come up sometime. But on our part, you know, like I said, you can't make a choice for these young people, but you can sure pray for them. You can sure pray for them. You know, I don't know. I want to make life for our young people. They ought to come to church and say, Brother Chad, what do you try to do with your teen activities and stuff like that? I want the young people to know that, hey, life in the will of God is the best life that you can live. Now, I don't know how all to do that, but you know, I want them to be satisfied in the will of God, not always looking outside the will of God for, you know, for something else that will satisfy what they want inside. Because the devil will give them something that satisfies. Now, granted, it only satisfies temporarily, and then you're kicked around on the ground, rolling through people's blood, and possibly never come back to be used again. But it satisfies temporarily. But you know what? Hey, be an encouragement to these young people, because, you know, they're worth being a vessel for God's use. And, you know, some of it, you know, Brother Chad, that's kind of my life, you know. But you know what? You can always, you're here this morning, and you can come and you can still be something that can be used by God in His work. So the cup of Belshazzar, whatever happened to that cup that he was drinking that night that he was killed? I don't know. But at one point, it was a consecrated cup. It was a cup that God had made for his own use. But what happened to it? What happens to all the young people that go out? I don't know. Some of them do okay. Some of them do okay. The only time my wife and I talked about this yesterday, the only time young people know that they need God, the only time the young people come back to God if they leave God is when they need God. When they need God. When you're rolling around on the floor empty, what happened when he dropped his cup? I'm sure everything came out. Something to think about. Something to mull that over this week. There's several truths in that. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. The vessels were used by the king of the world. They were abused by the king of the world. They were filled by the king of the Lord, the world. But they were lost. They were lost by the king of this world. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this lesson, just a simple lesson from the cup of Belshazzar that could have been and should have been used for your work. Lord, I pray that I would keep my life clean. Help me to be sanctified, fit for the master's use. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.